Hey, come on, stand with me if you would, real quick. You guys doing good? Come on, stand up. You guys doing good? Yeah? Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and tell him it's about to get slap your mama good. Come on, just encourage him for a moment. It is good. Turn to your other neighbor, your second choice this time. You look so much better than last week, man. You just get better with age. It's awesome. Well, what a joy it is to be here today. I've had the privilege of being Pastor Michael and Amanda's friend since the beginning, way back at that theater that you guys used to rent, and it was terrible, but God was doing something amazing. And what an honor and a privilege it is to be here. I honor your pastors. They are they're wonderful people and such a great team. Come on, show them some honor if you would. Let's give them a hand. So we're going to jump into the message in just a few moments. I'm going to pray, and then I'll give it a quick attempt at humor, and then we'll be seated and go from there. So you ready?
Yes,
come on, you ready?
Yes,
all right, Father, I pray over these next few moments as we open your word and we open our hearts. I pray that you would speak to us, that you'd change us, that we'd never be the same again. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Come on, everybody said?
Amen.
One more time, let's give Jesus praise and thank him for his goodness. Come on, do it like you mean it this morning. Lord, we love you. You're a good God. So real quick, attempted humor. It goes with the message, sort of. Here we go. A priest, a minister, and a rabbi wanted to see who was best at his job. So they each got into the woods. They found a bear, and they attempted to convert it. Later, they got together, and the priest began. He said, well, when I found the bear, I read to him from the catechism, sprinkled him with holy water. Next week is his first communion. The next said, I found a bear by the stream, said the minister. I preached the word of God to him. He was so mesmerized that he got saved and let me baptize him right there. They both looked down at the rabbi who was lying on a gurney in a body cast, who said, looking back, maybe I shouldn't have started with the circumcision. Come on, somebody. That is terrible. Okay, grab a seat if you would. You're like, I did not expect that. Let's continue on. Today, I want to talk to you around this idea of imposters. So if I would have come out today and I just said, hey, my name is Pastor Michael Smith. It's so good to meet you. You'd have been like, no, you're not. You're a wee little man. And Pastor Michael is really tall. And it would be easy to distinguish that I was an imposter. But the reality is in life and culture and in church, it's not so easy. And so we're going to take you to the book of Galatians in just a few moments. We're going to focus on the first chapter, but giving you an idea of what the Apostle Paul was writing. He was talking about how to spot an imposter, how to find the real in a world full of fake. So what is an imposter? An imposter is someone who pretends to be someone else. Maybe you got the email from the princess in Nigeria that said, if you just send $5,000, I will give you $10 million, because how many of you have ever gotten one of those emails before? Or you get a phone call that you're pretty sure wasn't your bank, but they said they were from Bank of America. Just give me your Social Security number, and we would love to help you in these different ways. See, it's not always easy to spot an imposter. An imposter could assume a false identity, pretend to have certain qualifications or skills they don't possess, like you and I did in our first job interview. Come on, somebody. Or engaging in deceptive behavior for personal gain. So let me set this up in this way. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 11, verse 14, says this. He says, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Let me tell you a story. The Trojan horse is a legendary tale from ancient Greek mythology. It has its historical roots in the context of the Trojan War. Now, according to legend, the Trojan horse was a large wooden horse constructed by the Greeks during the Trojan War. There was a conflict between the city of Troy and the Greeks, and this was recounted in Homer's epic poem, the Iliad. The story goes that after a prolonged siege on the city of Troy, the Greeks, they couldn't penetrate the walls. They couldn't get in. And so they devised a cunning plan to infiltrate the city walls so they could conquer that group of people. So they built a massive wooden horse and left it outside the gates of Troy as a supposed offering to the gods. While the Greek army pretended to sail away, they left behind a soldier by the name of Sinon, to deceive the Trojans into believing that the horse was actually a peace offering. Despite the warnings of the Trojan priest, and who famously exclaimed, "Beware of the Greeks bearing gifts," the Trojans were convinced by Sinon's story, and they brought the horse inside the city walls as a trophy. That night, while the Trojans slept, Greek soldiers who were hidden inside the horse emerged, opened the gates, and allowed the army, which was returning at that point, to come inside, and they sacked the city, and they gained the victory. Now, the city of Troy was located in modern-day Turkey, just like the church in Galatia that we're going to talk about for a few moments today. That was the historical site around this age, and it becomes a symbol and a picture that the enemy will always try to come and deceive you. It will say one thing, but actually mean another. It'll come as an angel of light, but really be a demon or the devil himself. So in this idea of imposter, it's getting more and more and increasingly difficult to determine what is true and what is false. Many of you are familiar with AI, artificial intelligence. It's the year of AI. It's coming to all of your phones. It's going to be something that everyone will use, and it's going to be game-changing in every ways, for the good and the not-so-good. One of the not-so-good that's happening right now, I read this article in the New Yorker, and it was talking about that there are people that are digitally capturing your voice, and then they are able to make a phone call to someone in your family, and it will sound just like you, saying, "I've been kidnapped, give such and such this amount of money, or they're going to harm me, they're going to harm the family." And these things are happening all over the culture, and because it sounds just like your voice, or sounds just like your family member's voice, they're given in to the imposter, and then those that, you know, didn't actually kidnap them are just going to the mall and enjoying a weekend out on you. So the imposter sometimes is easy to tell. So with AI, here's an example of a picture that went viral. And there are people complaining that the Pope was wearing a jacket that was, you know, not holy enough. Well, obviously, it's not a real picture. Somebody created it with AI, and it went, took the internet by storm, and lots of people had commented about it. So some things are easy to determine. Okay, that's fake. Other things are very difficult to determine whether they're real or they're fake. And 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times." Now, the Bible says that when Jesus went away, he's going to return, and we live in the last days. Now, we don't know when those days will end. We just know that we're closer to the return of Christ. And it says, in those later times in which you and I live, that some will abandon the faith. There will be a great apostasy, a falling away. People will switch teams. They used to be on Team Jesus, and now they're on Team themselves, which is actually a deception and demonic and satanic. It says they will follow. Everybody say follow. Come on, a little bit loud. Loud enough to annoy your neighbor. Everybody say follow.
Follow.
Hey, you did it. It was great. They will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So let me set this up for a few moments. The Apostle Paul wrote this book. It was one of the first books written in the New Testament. It was a book written to the church in Galatia. Now, Paul wrote this book around 49 AD, and it was addressed to the church in Galatia to address an error to talk about something that was happening in the church. An error had crept into the churches that he had established. So think of it in this way. He planted this church. Imagine he planted True Life Church. It was going great. Then he moved on. He's like, "We got to reach more people. We got to let them know about the good news of Jesus." So he's going and he's changing the world. All these churches are growing and popping up all over the ancient Near East, and then beginning to spread all over the world. Well, he gets word that, hey, back at True Life, back at the church in Galatia, like everything was going good. But now all of a sudden, it's not. See, there was a group of people referred to as the Judaizers who sought to impose legalistic requirements on Gentile believers. Now, what does that mean? There were 613 laws in the Old Testament. Jews were getting saved. Gentiles, those who were not of Jewish heritage, were getting saved and believing on Jesus. But there were some Jewish believers, the Judaizers, that said, "Hey, we need to obey the law." So they literally like, "Hey, you can join the church, you can go through growth track, but here's the deal, you got to get circumcised." And as you can imagine, signups and registrations for Growth Track begin to plummet. Things were happening in the church. And you say, that's an interesting take. No, that's actually the issue of what was happening. They said, you have to be circumcised to prove that you're really a good Jew. You need to adhere to all these laws, and then you'll be accepted. But that's backwards. That's not what the gospel is, as we'll talk about over these next few moments. And so Paul was stepping back into the picture and like, hold up, things were great, so I need to write you a letter, and I'm going to show up. We need to correct this thing because there's imposters who have come in. They're pretending to be believers. They're saying all the right things, but then they're turning it, and they're getting you to follow things that are not true. So Galatians chapter 1. Let's jump into it and talk about like the idea of the book of Galatians is the gospel. Everybody say the gospel. And the gospel just means good news. Have you ever gotten good news before? I got some of the best news earlier this year. My daughter, Michaela, who's 24, been married 2 years, came home and said, you're going to be a grandfather. And I am so pumped about being a grandfather. Anybody here a grandparent? Yeah, it's awesome. And so I know what you're thinking, man, you look too young to be a grandfather, and I really appreciate that. But I am going to be a grandfather, and I could not be more excited about that. It's good news. In the same way, the gospel is good news. Good news that it's not about how good you are. It doesn't matter what you've done, what's your background, what's your pedigree. No matter how much you've fallen short or sinned, the good news is that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he resurrected, he's coming back again. You can place your faith in him and be saved and set free by his grace and his mercy. Come on, that's a great place to clap, cheer, shake your neighbor. It's the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But some things were happening in that moment. Let's jump into it. Galatians chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches in Galatia. May God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Verse 4, Jesus gave his life for our sins. Now, this is the gospel. Let's back it up. Beep, beep, beep. Jesus gave his life for our sins. Just as God, our Father, planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said in John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So Paul's saying, listen, here's the deal. You got to understand this. There's deception that's coming in. People are being deceived. They were on Team Jesus, but now they're walking away. They're going away, and some don't even realize it. You need to understand the source of the real gospel is not something that you read on Facebook. It's not the opinions of current culture or your friend that you grew up with. The source of the real gospel and the real good news is Jesus Christ himself. Now, in 2019, my wife and I went to New York City. We wanted to go on a little couple days away, enjoy the sights. It was wicked cold outside, but we wanted to go to Rockefeller Center. We wanted to see the lights. We wanted to experience all the joy, all the crime. We wanted to experience everything that New York City has to offer. And so we went, and it was fantastic. And my wife said, listen, I would really like a Louis Vuitton bag. And I said, I would really like to get you one. Now, I knew that she wanted me to get one off the streets of New York City. Come on, somebody. And so we set out, but just go with the story for a moment. We set out, and we were walking down the street. We were looking for the right vendor. See, there's a lot of people that sell lots of things on the streets in New York City. And we were looking for one that looked genuine. We knew it was going to be fake, but we were looking because there was Louis Vuitton bags, LV, Louis Vuitton. They had like LF, LG, and I'm like, that's a bit fake. We can do better than that. And remember, we finally stopped at one guy's kind of whatever you would call it, table there on the streets. And I said, what's the best one that you have? I know they're all fake. No, I got the real thing. No, you don't. But that's okay. We want to buy it anyway. And so he's like, I got just the thing for you. It's going to cost you a little more. I'm like, okay. And so he went down to the back. I have one more left. You ever notice there's always one more left? I have one more left. And he pulled it, you know, out from a storage case that he had. And there it was. And it looked exactly like the real thing. I asked my wife, I said, Michelle, do you like it? She's like, I love it. I said, perfect. We bartered for the money. She got the Louis Vuitton bag. We walked down the streets of New York City. We had no problem. Like, if we were a mug, no big deal. It wasn't a real one anyway. But we had such a great time. Now, the problem was, a month later, the handle fell off. Because it was not the real thing. Now, consider the source. I just want to let you know that if you go to New York City and you're going to go buy Louis Vuitton or something else, I just want to tell you, if it's on the streets, it's not real. Now, there's a potential it's stolen and you got something real. But by and large, it's not real. Consider the source. It wasn't a real store, wasn't a real outlet. The reality is we knew it was fake. And what Paul's saying, you have to consider the source. Where's the message coming from? And the message that I'm telling you is coming from Jesus himself. You have chosen to plant yourself in a fantastic church that's based on the Word of God, that's based on the truth of God, and Jesus himself. Come on, aren't you thankful to be a part of Jesus' church here today? So quickly, here's what you need to know. The real gospel is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Now, the world wants to add to Jesus. What do we mean by that? See, this is a simple way of reminding us that when we have Jesus, but we still rely on our own efforts, competing ideas, material possessions, or worldly pursuits, they hold no value. See, salvation is found in Jesus, not upon our works. You don't have to be circumcised to go through growth track. That was the issue in Galatia. But there's other issues that we'll talk about in just a few moments that are infiltrating the church right now. And there's a great falling away, and many people are being deceived. You're in a great church, but maybe you're visiting online, in the house, and you're saying, I'm not used to all these things, and maybe you're not really sure if you're following the right path. I just want you to lean in because it's going to help you, and if you know better, it's going to help you do better. See, there's this theological term called justification, and here's what it means. Just as if I've never sinned. Because of Jesus, when you come and you trust in him, it's called the finished work of Jesus, that he hung on a cross 2,000 years ago and said, I love you this much. And he died in your place, and he died in my place. And the Bible tells us that we can believe on him. And all of our badness was placed upon Jesus. When we trust in him, all of his goodness and mercy and forgiveness is placed upon us, just as if we've never sinned. We experience the grace of God. What's the grace of God? The grace of God is God's riches at Christ's expense. And you and I, we come and we experience Jesus by trusting him. So Paul's saying, listen, stop trusting in these other things. Let me use it in this way. How many of you have ever been on a cruise before? Anybody? Just kind of wave at me. How many of you would go on a cruise if somebody else paid for it? Come on, just wave at me. Yeah, that's what my kids said. So we all went on a cruise together. It was a part of our Christmas present that we did. We'd always wanted to do it, but we kept having kids. My wife and I really like each other. We have 5 kids. They're all getting older, and we finally said, we just need to do it. And so we went on a cruise, and it was amazing. When you go on a cruise, they give you a little card. This is the card from my cruise, Royal Caribbean, Allure of the Seas, has my name on it. You use this card to get into your room. You use this card to get into all the shows. You use this card to get into your meals. Everything is free. It's been paid for. Now, there are some upgrades that you can do in certain places, but by and large, everything is free and it's paid for. Each night, we would go to dinner. And we would feel like we were royalty. You go in, you're waited on. You can have as much as of the food as you want. I would like 2 entrees. I would like 3 desserts. Can you give me some more of this? It's already paid for. And so I did that from the moment that we sat down. My kids were looking at me like, why are you being so needy? Why are you asking for more things? And I'm like, I'll take another dessert, please. Thank you. By the end of the week, they're all like, 3 entrees, 2 desserts. Bring the extra, because they begin to get the idea that it's free. It's already paid for. Say it with me. Already paid for. I said, it's already paid for, or it will be. But the reality is for you, it's already paid for. And so can you imagine this didn't happen? But I want you to imagine with me for a moment. We finished the meal. And I said, hey, we'll meet you back, because after every meal each night, we would go to a show. I said, we'll meet you back at the room. We'll go to the show at this time. We'll see you guys then. My wife and I go back to the room as we do. Everybody would scatter. We're going to meet back. But imagine with me that they're late. And we're like, hey, what are you doing? Why were you late? And they're like, oh, not a big deal. We just decided to stay after, and we were helping do dishes to cover the cost of the meal. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? Like, do you understand how much money I paid so that you could be on this ship and everything is free? I keep telling you. Order more dessert. Have more appetizers. Do it now, because when we leave the ship, we're not doing that when you go out. But it's all free. Can you imagine? I explain it to them. We go the next day, and they're late again. Why were you late? Well, we were just staying to do dishes to help out to pay the bill. Did you not hear me from yesterday? It's all free. It's already paid for. That's what Paul's saying to the church in Galatia. Jesus paid for everything. It's all free, but it came at a great price. And as you trust in him, he's the way, the truth, and the life, you get it all. You're blessed, you're favored, you're forgiven, you're a new creation. Stop trying to earn it. It's already been paid for. Come on, aren't you thankful for that, what Jesus has done? Here's what an imposter does. An imposter says, it's not already paid for. There's something that you need to do. You need more of that. 613 laws in the Old Testament. The Judaizers are like, you know what? I think you need to obey some of those. Now, let me explain for a moment. Some people get it wrong in culture. Like, you know, the law of God in the Old Testament, none of that. We don't follow any of that anymore. Well, you don't go out and murder people and cheat on your spouse and like, you know, Jesus just loves me. I can do whatever I want. No. Because you love God, a heart of love, and you responded to his grace, you want to obey him. See, this week I'm making a decision, like I've made for every day that I've ever been with my wife. I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm going to honor you. We have an agreement. Why? Not because I'm scared of her. I can beat her in arm wrestling. I'm not going to do those things because I love her. I'm going to live for God this week. Not because I'm scared of him, though the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to have reverence, but because I love him. But something was happening in the church, and it's happening in the church today, as we'll talk about. There's danger in the deception. Verse 6 says, I am shocked. Everybody says shocked? I love this picture. Can we show it real quick? I thought it was really funny about having multiple kids. You're like, oh, it's going to be amazing. You're going to have so many kids. What is like, and actually, like, it's extra, but if you have, like, more than one kid, you know exactly. It's zone defense. You know what I'm talking about. He said, I am shocked. Some of you are like, I'm shocked by how hard it was. It's great. I'm shocked that you're turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You're following a different way that's pretending to be the good news, but it's not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. I'm shocked. It's kind of like going to your 20th anniversary, high school reunion anniversary. You go back and you're shocked. You're like, not everybody ages well. Come on, somebody. I am shocked this moment. That's really you. Oh, my goodness. You look terrible. You know, you're thinking. You're shocked at that moment. And so he's like, I can't believe. Like, you were doing so good. I mean, it was so good. And then all of a sudden, like, not so good. I can't believe that. You've fallen for a false gospel, which is Jesus plus anything and everything else, which equals nothing. There's this story. I'm not going to give the details, but it's actually a Netflix documentary that came out. There's a guy named Manti Te'o. I think I'm saying his name correctly, but it could be wrong. In 2012, he was a Heisman Trophy candidate. He was a linebacker for Notre Dame. Everything was about them going to the national championship. His story was everywhere. And part of his story was, it was really interesting, and people gravitated towards it because he had a girlfriend who I believe had gotten leukemia and died, and he committed the rest of the season to her. Well, the reason that a Netflix documentary was made is because none of that was actually true. He was catfished, meaning he was an imposter. He got to know someone online and through the phone, but that person was pretending. He never met this woman. But he was so busy traveling, and it was different, like, you know, the ease of FaceTime and everything nowadays. But he developed this relationship with a woman that did not really exist. It was all made up. She didn't die. It was just some random lady that was pretending to be someone else. And people began to investigate. They found out that was the case, and they did a documentary called The Girlfriend That Never Existed, which is kind of funny if you think about it, but kind of not also. National and international embarrassment because of deception. See, Jesus said something that's really important, Matthew 24. He said, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." See, a false gospel is any teaching or message that deviates from the revelation and the core truths of the Christian faith revealed in the Bible. It may appear to be spiritual or religious or sound good, have a nice slogan, but it ultimately leads people away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. False gospels take on various forms. Let me say this. The Barna Research Group did a study. You may have heard this. Your pastor and I, we talk about all these things, and 67% of our country claim to be Christian. Less than half of them are actually born again, and a fraction of those that claim to be born again and like really believe the Bible actually believe the Bible. And one of the most Christian nations in the history of humanity, what I mean is we have so many Christians in our nation from the beginning. I mean, even our curse words are Christian. Like, we don't yell out like Buddha whenever we stub our toe, right? You know, it's in God we trust, even on our money. And so it's very Christianized, but statistics show in the latest studies is that 4% of Americans believe the Bible is true and live according to it. 1% of the next generation. What Paul was saying is there's a mass apostasy, beware, an imposter that's coming to the churches that's saying things like love is love, which I just, a little extra for you here, it's kind of like saying water is water. I mean, it might be water, but if it's toilet water, you definitely don't want to drink it. Come on, are you with me? And so it requires us to actually think. So what are some of the deceptions that are coming that the majority of people in our culture and even in the church are believing? That I pray that you want, you're in a good church, and if you'll stay planted, you won't fall for the deception because you'll get to know the real so well that you'll know what's true and what is false. You'll have what we call discernment. But one of those things that was happening in the church of Galatia was legalism. What's legalism? Essentially is if you're extra good and mostly perfect, you'll be viewed favorably and you'll be accepted by God. You're good enough by your works. I don't know if any of you own a Rolex, but Rolex are very expensive and they are like the perfect watch. They have a great value. And so a legalist like, you need to own a Rolex. And the truth is it doesn't matter if you're a Rolex or a Timex, but if you believe in Jesus, you have great value. And it's not about what you did or what you do. It's about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And you can honor him and you have all the grace, all the forgiveness, all the mercy that you need. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Galatians 2:16 says, "Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith." Everybody say, by faith. Faith. Come on, a little bit louder. By faith? Faith. By faith in Jesus, not by obeying the law. I don't need to have circumcision to go through growth track. I don't need to do all these extra things that you're, I need to make a decision to honor the Lord with my life. He said, we believed in Jesus so that we might be made right with God because our faith is in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law. Here's the problem with legalism. If you believe that God saves you because of your behavior, you'll trust in yourself rather than in Christ, and you'll try to be your own savior. And the first commandment is to have no other gods before him. Jesus reiterated and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So don't trust in yourself. Here's another false gospel that's in the church, universalism. If you believe that God saves you because of your behavior, you'll trust in yourself rather than Christ. But this one says, all dogs go to heaven and so do people. Do whatever you want, it all works out in the end. All roads lead to the same place. And I just want to tell you, I was 10 minutes late from when I was supposed to be here this morning because all roads don't lead here. We got talking, we weren't paying attention to the GPS, and we went on that way. Now, all dogs may go to heaven, though I've owned some that I'm pretty sure will be in hell. Come on. All dogs may go to heaven, but the Bible is very clear that all people don't, Matthew 25. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. See, here's the problem. If you believe that God saves you because he saves everyone, you don't think that you need a savior, so you'll just try or attempt to be your own. And then there's another thing called syncretism. Syncretism is the blender. So one of the things that I do in the mornings is I make these shakes. I've done it for a number of years now. It has spinach and fruit and protein power and collagen. All these things are good for you. Blend it all up, drink it, take some vitamins. And I do that because I want to do what I can to be around for my grandkids and to depopulate hell and to populate heaven. Come on, somebody. Now imagine I throw in some spinach, I throw in some protein powder, but I also like Swedish fish. And I love chocolate. And I like Coke Zero. We'll just throw that in there too. You know, put it all together. Listen, as long as I have the good stuff in there, it outweighs the bad. That is what a false gospel is. It's mixing. So there's this idea, I call it being a Christian Buddhist. I love Jesus, but I love all these other things as well. And the Bible says in Acts 4, I reiterate, salvation is found in no one else. If you believe that God saves you in many different ways, then you'll follow your own way and not his. And again, you'll try to be your own savior. There's other things I won't get into for time reason, but one of the biggest things in our culture is something known as critical theory. It's kind of espoused through what you may have heard, like cultural Marxism. And it basically is the Bible and Jesus isn't enough to fix the world, so we need to divide everyone into oppressor and oppressed. And if you have any rights and privileges more than someone else, you're the oppressor, they're the victim, they're the oppressed, and that's what we see happening in our culture. And that's why Paul said to the church in Colossians chapter 2, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. That's why you see things like Queers for Palestine, which is like saying vegans for Mission Barbecue. You're like, that doesn't really make sense how all that works. And we have all these things, love is love, and all these woke apostate churches with rainbow flags and everything else that have a doctrine of demons, a little bit of Jesus, and a lot of the demonic that aren't loving, that are actually leading people away. That's why in 1 Timothy 4, it says, the Spirit clearly says in later times some will abandon the faith. Matthew 7 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. So there is a consequence to the compromise. Paul said, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one preached to you. I say again that, as we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one that you welcome, let that person be cursed. He's saying, let that person be damned. He said, this is so serious that I need to lean in, and I'm writing you a letter. I'm going to come to you. The church has been infiltrated. There's an imposter. People are falling away, and we see this now in our day and in our hour, that the majority of those who profess Christ, even in churches, don't have a Christian worldview. They're in danger of falling away or have fallen away. And so I want to challenge us, as we are a part of True Life Church and the true gospel, that we don't apologize, that we don't change the Bible to try to be more palatable. You can never be more loving than God. And it is only the truth of Jesus that sets people free. Listen, we're in a day and an age where Drag Queen Story Hour is celebrated, not just in the local library, but actually in the church. I have a picture of Miss Pentecost, a dude that dresses like a chica and is sexualized, and he is teaching in churches. I believe it's a Methodist church where we've seen the great falling away happen there. He's teaching Sunday school to try to sexualize children even in the church. We saw that even in Lancaster County. There was an attempt for that to happen at a church, and we were part of a protest there. I say that to you because now is a day for us not to be quiet, passive, or silent, The Bible even says that cowards won't receive the kingdom of heaven. I want to challenge you and encourage you to lean into the truth and make a decision. As it gets darker, and it's getting darker, you continue to shine brighter. The Bible prophesies and declares, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You'll prophesy. All these things are going to happen. There's a great awakening that's happening all over the world. There's a great apostasy that's happening all over the world. And I want to encourage you to make a decision that you're not going to bow to the culture or the pressure of those on Facebook, to the pressure maybe of family. In fact, I want to challenge you to focus on pleasing God and not man. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said this. He said, obviously, this is really obvious, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. In Proverbs 29, it says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, you make a decision, you know what? I'm going to honor him. How many of you have ever been in an escape room before? It's basically you pay a lot of money to go there with friends to be frustrated by math that you may or may not enjoy. I stopped enjoying math the moment they mixed the alphabet with numbers. Come on, somebody. And I'm like, what does that mean? And so, but my family loves escape rooms. So because my family loves them, my wife loves them, I love them too. And so when we go to them, I pretend. I'm a little bit of an imposter in that way, but I just choose, you know what, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to do my best because I know that my wife is watching. And she wants to know that I'm engaged, I'm being a good dad, I'm having fun, I'm participating, and I love my wife, so I'm making a decision. I want to please her, and so I'm making a decision that regardless of how I feel or anything else, that I'm going to do my best. In the same way, we need to be focused on pleasing the Lord. Here's my final challenge to you. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, 11 and 12, he said, dear brothers and sisters, he wrote it to the church in Galatia, but it is so timely and appropriate for us today. He said, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source. No one taught me. Instead, it's direct revelation from Jesus Christ. When they train people to determine what is real and what is fake as far as money and counterfeits and the Secret Service and other people and organizations, they spend extra time helping them know what is true, helping them to understand and what to look for in the real thing. I want to encourage you, we live in exciting days. We also live in challenging and difficult days. And we would be unwise to pretend that that's not happening. The reality is that we need to have a revival and awakening of truth and the Word of God that still sets people free. We need to not follow our feelings. We need to follow our faith. And I want to encourage you to stay close to Jesus. Get in the Word of God. Have the Bible for yourself. Read it every day. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Make a decision that you're going to stand up and declare the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God. In James 4:8, it says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. In other words, there's a lot of people, he said, in the church in Galatia, they're trying to take away from Scripture. They're trying to add to it. He's like, if you do that, you're cursed. But the real gospel still sets people free. Remember Paul, he was murdering Christians. He thought he was doing God a favor. He was completely deceived. And on his way on the road to Damascus, on his way to persecute more believers, Jesus met him right where he was and saved him and changed him and forgave him and used him. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. But it doesn't come by trusting in yourself. And it doesn't come by trusting in a deception. It comes when you trust in the Lord your God and you stay close to Jesus. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is close to all who call on him. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. All who call on him in truth. Jesus is not whoever you want him to be. He's not Mr. Potato Head. You can say, well, I like to think of Jesus in this way, and I like to think of Jesus in that way. Jesus isn't the opinion of culture or the opinion of whatever you've grown up with, but Jesus is everything that you need. He loves you. And I want to encourage you today. The source of the real gospel is Jesus Christ. There is danger in the deception. There's consequences to compromise. So make a decision right now that you're going to determine to be steadfast by focusing on pleasing God and not man. Most importantly, stay close to Jesus. So I want to pray with you, and I want to remind you that it's already been paid for. All the forgiveness that you need, whatever you need, Jesus paid for 2,000 years ago when he hung on a cross and he died for you and I. And the true gospel is the good news. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus, I don't need to just give my opinion. I don't need to accept all the different religions. I don't need to accept wokeism. I don't need to accept Mormonism. I don't, all these things that are counterfeit gospels. It's not being mean. It's being humbling yourself and saying, God, that's a doctrine of demons. And I want to follow the real thing. If I'm going to get the Louis Vuitton bag, I want the real deal. And I just want to tell you, Jesus is the real thing. So today I want to pray with you. And I just want to ask you, online and in the house, if you would say, Sam, I've been accepting some ideas and ideologies, which are idolatry in our culture. I've been believing things that, you know, I know, and you've mentioned a few things that aren't true. Today, I've come to encourage you. And if you've been offending God, then I might be offending you by being direct with truth. And I'm totally fine with that. I want to encourage you, today is the day of salvation. God loves you. See, most people in our culture, the majority of Americans believe that heaven is real. Most Americans don't believe that hell is real. But the fact is, they're both real. God loves you so much. He wants you to be in heaven with him. He wants you to experience his grace. He wants you to become a part of his family. All who call on the name of the Lord would be saved. Would you bow your heads with me in this moment? You're here this morning or you're online. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That the wages of those sins is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that all who call on his name will be saved. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. And today, you might be saying, you know what? I've never made that decision to follow Jesus. But I know, man, I've been living my own path. And God's just speaking to your heart this morning. Just a moment. I want to invite you to call to him. In fact, I want to lead us all in prayer. And the church family is going to join me. And you can pray along with us. And you can place your faith in him. Others of you, you may said, man, I thought I was believing Jesus, but I've been like adding things. And I recognize it's a false gospel. And you're ready to humble yourself and have the real thing. We're going to pray in just a moment. You can get right with God. No matter who you are or what you've done online, you can put in the comment, that's me. There's someone ready to connect with you. And I want to invite you to join with us in prayer. Those in the house, if that's you, would you be so kind? And if God's been speaking to you and you want to pray that prayer with me, just high enough and long enough, would you just raise your hand high enough and long enough so I can see who's praying with me today? I'd love to agree with you as God does a great work in your life. God bless you. Anybody else? We're going to pray. Whether you raise your hand or not, you can pray this prayer in faith. Would you join with me? Everybody say, Jesus. Come on, out loud together. Jesus, today I choose to follow you. Forgive me of my past. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and make me new. I believe that you died on a cross, that you rose to new life, and you're coming back again for me. And until that day, I will live for you. Right now, by faith, I'm a child of God, forgiven and free, in Jesus' name. Come on, if you just prayed that prayer in faith, I know there was more than one. If you prayed that prayer in faith, you just got born again. Your past is forgiven. Your future is secure. God has made all things new. The Bible says when one person turns from their sin, all of heaven celebrates. So come on, True Life, can you stand to your feet? Can we celebrate with those that are making that decision right now in Jesus' name? Would you lift your hands to heaven? I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we've received the true gospel, the real deal. Followers of you, I pray that you'd fill each of us fresh with your Holy Spirit today. Lord, that we would go about, we would be bold, kind, loving, and hold fast to the truth and share the truth that will set people free in our school, in our workplace, in Walmart, and Wawa, everywhere that we go. We would bring the good news of Jesus. And Lord God, we would expose the counterfeit and we'd bring freedom. Lord, I speak it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said,